Okay. October 5. Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we intentionally stop to reflect upon the readings appointed for this day. I pray that as you hear God's word, you would allow it to come into your life. I pray that you would ask the Spirit to open your ears to hear anew God's word and what it speaks to us in our world today. Through hearing God's word, may it shape and mold you, guide you and lead you, so that in your life you may bear much fruit. Now we begin in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Benevolent, merciful God, when we are empty, fill us. When we are weak in faith, strengthen us. When we are cold in love, warm us, that with fervor we may love our neighbors and serve them for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our first reading that's appointed for this day comes from the prophet Habakkuk, the first and second chapters. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry to you for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. The spirit is not right in them. But the righteous live by their faithfulness. The gospel, or the word of the Lord. I have to tell you, first off, Habakkuk is actually my favorite book of the Bible. I know that may sound strange. Some people may even be going, Habakkuk, wait, is that a book of the Bible? It's one of the minor prophets. And I really like it because, to me, it speaks to our world today in such a profound way. Listen to the prophet. He says, O Lord, how long I cry to you, and you will not listen, or cry violence, and you will not save. Think about what's going on in our world. And it's not just right now, but throughout history, how many times do we look at the world? We turn on the news or read the newspaper and we see violence. We see destruction. We see things that we go, no, this should not be. And we cry out to God. And we wonder, where is God in all of this? In seminary, our pastoral care professor used to use the word wigiot a lot. He says we should think about wigiot. And wigiot stood for, where is God in all of this? In some ways, that's the message of the prophets. They give voice to the people to say, where is God in this? For what was going on was the nation of Israel was about to be invaded. The Babylonians were going to come in, and people were worried that they were going to be conquered. And people were crying out, where, O Lord, are you? We cry out to you for help, but you do not listen. You don't answer us. In our world today, do we cry out, where are you in the midst of tragedy? Where are you in the midst of when you hear of loved ones getting cancer? Where are you in the midst of school shootings? Where are you in the midst of political assassination? Where are you, O Lord? And it seems we cry out, and yet at times it seems we hear silence. Where are you? We cry violence, but you do not save. We see destruction and violence are before us. Strife and contention arise. Justice never prevails. The book of Habakkuk is a sense of a kind of call and response. The prophet cries out, here's what people are crying, and then the prophet announces, here is what God says. The response to that question, where are you, O Lord? Why is it that you seem to be silent? Where is your voice? How are you coming to us? Listen to what the prophet tells the people. In the midst of this foreign power coming, in the midst of what people perceive as destruction and violence, the prophet says for God, I will stand at my watch post and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he says to me. That part of it, the prophet is saying, God is answering him, saying, wait, watch. God is at work. Do we see it? The Lord answers and says, write the vision, make it plain, so that runners may read it. He's saying, write in large letters, God is there. Here is the vision. There is a time that is coming. And part of it is the answer comes in the notion of trusting in God. It says it seems to tarry, but wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. The proud, the spirit is not right within them. Those who think they have all the answers, don't listen to them because they think they know everything, but wait on the Lord. And then he answers, and this is the verse that gets lifted up, chapter 2, verse 4. But the righteous shall live by their faith, or the righteous live by their faithfulness. What the prophet is saying is, hold firm. Not in a quietness where we don't do anything, not just being passive, but even in the midst of tragedy, even in the midst of uncertainty, what we do is we cling to the notion that God is at work and we wait to see. We continue living a life of faith. We continue to go about, even when we're unsure, trusting that God is there. Luther picked this up, and it helped him in the midst of his despair as he was struggling with the church and the indulgences that were being sold and kind of people moving away from what he saw as a biblical understanding to raise money for the church. Where he got renewed was this verse gets picked up in Paul's letter to the church of Romans. He says, the righteous will live by faith. We live lives of faith. He talked about the one story, he talks about Luther, somebody asking him, if you knew God was coming back tomorrow, what would you do? And he answered, plant a tree. And the person stumped said, why? Why would you do that? Because that's what I was going to do tomorrow. That's what it means to live by faith. We continually moving forward, trusting that God is there, even in our uncertainty. And the good news is, God hears us. Even when we don't think so, God hears us. And God is at work. And how do we take a moment to step back? To trust that God is at work. To trust that even when we can't see the bigger picture, when we have doubts about why this person may be elected or why this happens in the country or in the world, we trust that God is still at work. And we live by faith. Continuing to move forward, doing what we trust that God has called us to do. His will, which is perfect and well-pleasing. And we continue to try to make a difference, even when we don't think that it does. When we go and see it seems like everything is going against, we continue to walk that life of faith. Habakkuk is this sort of call to say, where are you? And then hear God's response. And part of this notion of faith, of living out this life of faith, that the righteous live by faith, we see at the end of the book. Sometimes in the lectionary, we get just a snippet. But if you sit down and read the whole book, what you see at the end, Habakkuk offers a prayer. The third chapter is this prayer, and it ends this way. Listen to what he writes. He says, though the fig tree does not bloom, and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice. Think about that. He says, even though it seems dismal, even though that it seems everything is going wrong, the fig tree doesn't blossom, the fruit and the vines doesn't produce, olive trees fail, the fields produce no crops. The flock is cut off. There's no meat. Yet he responds, yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and makes me tread in the heights. Even when it seems that the world is going in the wrong direction, we stand and we say, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. For God is my strength. That's how the righteous live by their faithfulness, trusting in the one who has created us, trusting in the one who has redeemed us. When we cry out and it seems we don't get an answer, we continually cry out and we trust that God will hear us. And in God's time, God responds. And for that, we exalt him and trust in him, for he is our strength and our salvation. We live by faith and not by sight. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal wisdom and steadfast presence, we confess that we, like Habakkuk, often cry out in confusion and sorrow. Violence and injustice weigh heavy on our hearts. We wonder how long until healing comes. Yet you, O source of hope, call us to wait and to watch upon the ramparts, to trust that your vision of justice will not fail. Even when the world feels shaky, your spirit holds us steady. Nurturing one, plant in us the gift of faith, not faith that ignores hardship, but faith that leans into your promise of renewal. Help us to live with courage, to work for peace, and to trust in your unfailing love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.